As they had planned beforehand, the gang made their getaway to the south, riding hard for several miles before the Kid and Brattle brought their horses to a stop and signaled for the other outlaws to do likewise.
Nobody can follow us in this weather. There's no point in us keeping on this way.
We might as well swing west for a ways and then head for the ranch.
Sounds good to me. I ain't no duck. Sooner we're out of this weather, the better.
The summer thunderstorm was a powerful one, but it hadn't spawned any cyclones, as far as the Kid knew. Just hard rain, frequent lightning, and gusty winds. All of those things started to taper off as the outlaws rode west, traveling at a fast pace, but not an all-out gallop as they had been earlier. The farther west they went, the lighter the rain fell, until it stopped completely.
That's one good thing about these Texas gully washers. They don't usually last very long. Wouldn't surprise me if we saw the sun shining in a little while.
His prediction proved to be correct. A short time later, breaks appeared in the clouds, even while thunder still grumbled and growled to the east where the storm had moved on. Sunlight slanted through those gaps and quickly warmed a day that had turned chilly while the storm was passing through. The air soon felt sticky and steamy. The Kid's soaked clothes were uncomfortable.
We made a good haul. The boss said there was supposed to be 60 grand in that money shipment. And from the looks of it, he was right.
Yeah, but what's his share from that? What's yours?
Oh, you don't need to be concerned with that right now. Your share's going to pay back the boss, remember?
I was just wondering how much he's going to collect for sitting in that ranch house, while the rest of us do the real work and run all the risks.
You think you're the first hombre who's tried to stir up trouble that way? You're wasting your time, Keen. All of us are collecting more loot than we'd ever did working on our own. We don't care how much the boss makes for being smart enough to put this deal together.
As far as we're concerned, Waco, Mr. Gray earns every penny he takes.
Fine. I was just thinking out loud. That's all.
Best to do as you're told and not think too much.
They rode on in silence, gradually curving back to the north, crossing the railroad tracks, riding through a wide basin, and then climbing a ridge commanding a view of 15 or 20 miles to the east.
I didn't care for the way you kept tossing my name around, Brattle.
What's it matter? The law's already looking for you.
Yeah, but once word gets around that I was mixed up in this robbery, the reward being offered for me will go up. Especially since we left 3 dead men behind us.
And they shouldn't have put up a fight. Anyway, you don't have to worry about that, Kane. All you have to do is stick with us and you won't get caught.
No, not until they were ready for him to get caught, the Kid thought. And by then, it would be too late. Somehow, he had to get a signal to Tyler and let him know it was time for the Rangers to move in. The Kid could testify about the robbery and the killings, as well as Alexander Gray's part in them. He didn't know where that would leave Beatrice, who would be on her own again. But there was nothing he could do about that. Maybe he could use some of Conrad Browning's money to help her get started in a new life, if her pride would allow that. The Kid started seeing familiar landmarks and knew they were getting close to the old ranch. Brattle knew it too, because he reined in.
I'm gonna need that gun back now, Keen.
Gun?
Don't be stupid. You know what I'm talking about. That gun you scooped up after the deputy sheriff dropped it.
The Kid smiled and reached for the butt of the Colt tucked in his waistband. Brattle moved quickly, gripping the handle of his own revolver, and the Kid sensed the other outlaws behind him were ready for trouble too.
Take it easy.
Moving slowly and deliberately, he took hold of the weapon and drew it. Then he reversed the gun and held it out butt first toward Brattle.
You try anything fancy like a road agent spin and the other fellas will blast you full of holes.
If you haven't figured out by now that we're on the same side, Brattle, I don't know what I can do about it. I carried my weight in that holdup, didn't I?
Yeah, but the boss's orders say you don't carry a loaded gun around a place unless he okays it.
Brattle took the Colt from the Kid.
I don't make the rules.
The Kid didn't say anything as they hitched their horses into motion again. For a second, he had considered blasting Brattle off his horse and then turning to shoot it out with the other men. 4-1 odds were pretty bad, but he had won against some long odds in the past. Not today, he told himself. Too much depended on him staying alive for a while longer. They followed the ridge for a couple of miles before it sloped down into another valley with a creek running through it. The plateau where the ranch was located was on the far side of that valley. The Kid could see the hill serving as Tyler's lookout point, looming to the west. It seemed likely the young rancher was watching them. As they started across the valley, the Kid reached into the canvas sack hanging from his saddle horn by a short length of cord and pulled out a bundle of money.
What are you doing?
Just thought I'd take another look at this loot, since pretty soon I'll be turning it over to the boss and won't ever see it again.
I told you. Stick with us and you'll have more money than you know what to do with. Now put that away. You're making me nervous.
Why should it bother you? You think we'll run into somebody who will see it and figure out we stole it from that train?
Well, maybe it sounds far-fetched, but it could happen. Now put that money back in the sack, damn it.
All right, don't get a burr in your saddle.
The kid replaced the money.
I'll get whatever I want under my saddle.
Not sure that even makes sense.
It makes sense enough to me. Come on. We're almost back to the ranch.
20 minutes later, the six men rode up to the old stone ranch house. As they reined in, the front door swung open and Gray stepped out, an eager expression making his pale face look a little bit less cadaverous than usual. His eyes lit up at the sight of the canvas money sacks hanging from the saddles.
Success!
That's right, boss. Everything went off without a hitch. Except we got mighty wet when a thunderstorm blew through. Dodge, Hendry, you take care of the horses. The rest of you, let's take this money inside.
Gray came up to the kid as he dismounted.
Any problems for you, Waco?
Not really. Brattle was a little free about using my name.
Is that so? Well, I don't suppose it'll make much difference in the long run, will it? You're already a fugitive from justice, after all.
That's what I told him, boss.
The kid had expected Beatrice to come out and greet them, too, but he hadn't seen any sign of her. He told himself there was no reason to worry about her, but even so, he realized he would be glad when he saw for himself that she was all right. They entered the cavernous front room, and Gray motioned to a large table.
Dump the money there. I'll count it and find out just how well we did today.
Beatrice came into the room then, and a surge of relief went through the kid. He thought she looked happy to see him, too, but she glanced away quickly so Gray wouldn't notice her reaction.
Look at this, Beatrice. Another installment on a fortune that will dwarf anything our father ever had, eh?
I don't care about that, Alexander. I don't care about anything that has to do with him.
Well, I can't say that I blame you for feeling that way. He's a despicable man. But enough about that. Would you like to help me count this?
Everyone stiffened in alarm. The kid thought the shots came from the barn. Brattle jerked his gun from its holster.
Somebody must have jumped Dodge and Hendry.
He took off at a run for the back door. So did the other outlaws.
Stay here, Beatrice. Come on, Waco.
He ran out of the house behind Gray. They were in time to see Brattle and another man half-dragging, half-carrying a limp, bloody figure out of the barn. The kid's breath froze in his throat as he recognized the wounded man. Brattle and the other man dumped the intruder at Gray's feet.
Look who Dodge and Hendry caught skulking around the place, boss.
It was the young Texas Ranger called Tyler Beaumont. Blood stained Tyler's shirt in a couple of places, but his eyelids fluttered and his chest rose and fell. The kid was glad to see the man wasn't dead. But that situation might not last long. At any second, Gray could order his men to finish filling the young Texas Ranger with lead.
What's that young rapscallion doing here?
Don't know for sure, boss, but he wasn't up to anything good. I found this in a hidden pocket on the back of his gun belt.
Brattle was holding Tyler's Ranger badge. Gray snatched it out of his Segundo's fingers.
A Ranger? Then when he showed up here before, he wasn't just looking for work like he claimed.
I reckon not. You want us to go ahead and kill him?
Alexander, you can't.
I told you when you showed up on the plantation, Beatrice, that I was very pleased to see you and that you were welcome to stay. But you weren't to interfere in my business. Do you remember that?
Of course I do. At the time, I didn't know what your business was.
Well, now you know. But that doesn't change the fact there's a good reason to keep this man alive. For now. Brad'll tend to his wounds and see to it he's well guarded at all times.
But, boss...
I want to question him and find out exactly what brought him here. I want to know if he's aware who we really are and what we're doing. Or if he was just snooping because someone new moved in on the ranch.
Well, we can't let him go. Not after shooting him.
Well, I didn't say anything about letting him go. We'll deal with that problem. But I intend to find out as much as I can from him first.
Gray jerked his head toward the barn, indicating Tyler was to be held prisoner out there.
Oh, this is an unpleasant development in what had been a very promising day.
Brattle and the other outlaw picked up Tyler's senseless form and toted it toward the barn.
But I suppose I'll feel better about things again once I've counted that money. Let's get back to that.
Gray turned toward the house.
Are you coming, Waco?
The kid watched the other outlaws disappear into the barn with Tyler and wondered if he would ever see the young ranger alive again.
Waco?
Yeah, sure, boss. I just don't like the idea of a ranger snooping around here.
Well, neither do I, but it may not mean anything.
What do we do if we find out they're onto us?
We'll have to clear out, I suppose, and find somewhere else to serve as our headquarters. That would be a shame, because I like this place. Let's not borrow trouble. I found out the truth later on. Assuming, of course, the lawman doesn't succumb right away from his wounds. I can make him talk. Yes, that ranger will tell me everything I want to know before he dies.
The haul from the train robbery wasn't an exact $60,000. When Gray counted the money in the canvas sacks, the total came to $59,380. That was still a large sum of money, more than most folks saw in their entire lives.
We'll work out the division of the spoils later, Beatrice. There'll be a share for you as well, my dear.
I don't want any of it, Alexander.
Nonsense. You contribute to our efforts by cooking and taking care of us. You deserve some money of your own in return for that.
I really don't want to argue about it.
All right. But you can't stop me from setting some aside for you.
Gray looked over at the kid.
And of course, I'll take what would have been your share into account against the expenses I incurred in securing your freedom from prison.
That's fine. With a job of this size, my share ought to cover a big chunk of those expenses.
I'll let you know how the figures work out.
The kid knew good and well that would never happen. Brattle came into the room.
We patched up that ranger, boss. He's awake now if you want to talk to him. A couple of shots of whiskey braced him up some.
Excellent, Brattle.
Gray left the room with his big, ugly second-in-command. The kid started after them, but Beatrice stood up quickly and moved to intercept him.
Waco, I don't care about the money. I just want to get out of here.
I'll do what I can.
Inside the barn, Tyler was sitting on the ground with his bloody shirt off and bandages wrapped around his midsection and upper left arm. His arms were pulled behind him and tied around one of the posts supporting a stall gate. His haggard face showed the strain he was under, but not even a flicker of recognition filled his eyes as he looked up and saw the kid, Gray, and Brattle. Tyler was thinking clearly enough not to give away the kid's identity. The other outlaws stood around the ranger in a half circle. The ominous threat they represented hung in the air like the stink of gun smoke.
Well, Mr. Tyler, I see you decided to pay us a return visit.
There was no need for your hands to start blazing away at me like that. I just thought maybe things had changed since I was here.
Don't waste your time and mine by lying about looking for a job. We both know that's a lie. You already have a job.
Gray took the Texas Ranger badge from his pocket and held it up so Tyler could see it.
You found that, did you?
My men did, yes. So you see, there's no point in lying. What I want to know is what brought you here the first time and then today.
I came here starting out because this ranch has been abandoned for quite a while. And when I spotted somebody living here, I was curious, that's all. Most folks get pretty close-mouthed when they're talking to a lawman, even when they haven't done anything wrong. So that's why I spun that yarn about looking for a riding job.
What made you come back?
Well, hell, that gunny of yours shot me.
Only to keep you from shooting one of my men.
That wasn't the only thing. I just had a hunch. Something wrong was going on here. The whole place just didn't feel right. I still don't know what it is, but I'm mighty certain now that you fellas are up to no good.
With a slight frown on his face, Gray appeared to think about what Tyler had told him.
I believe you're telling the truth.
Hell, the fix I'm in, I'd be pretty dumb to make it worse by lying to you, wouldn't I?
I don't know. That's hard to say.
Gray drew a pistol from his pocket and pulled back the hammer as he pointed it at Tyler.
Perhaps you should try again to convince me before I pull this trigger. So tell me, Mr. Tyler, what exactly do you know about us?
Tyler's eyes widened. No matter what sort of control he had over his emotions, he knew he was staring death in the face. He wouldn't have been human if it didn't affect him.
Now, damn it, I'm telling you the truth. Yeah, sure, I'm a ranger, and I was suspicious of you fellas, evidently for good reason. But I don't know who you are or what you're doing here.
After a long, tense moment, Gray tilted the pistol's barrel up, lowered the hammer, and slipped the gun back into his pocket.
Now I'm convinced you're telling the truth.
Oh, it's about time.
Unfortunately, that won't save your life.
Gray nodded curtly to Brattle, who grinned and reached for the gun on his hip.
No, I think I'd prefer not to have any more gunshots right now. It would be best to dispose of him in a more discreet manner.
Whatever you say, boss. Hendry, hand me that knife you carry. Mr. Gray, you might want to move back. Blood tends to squirt out sometimes when you cut a man's throat.
Yes, of course. I wouldn't want to ruin this suit.
Tyler fought to keep his face expressionless, but the kid could see the horror in the young lawman's eyes as Brattle and Gray calmly discussed cutting his throat. The kid was horrified, too, but didn't have time to give in to the feeling. He thought furiously to come up with a way to save Tyler's life.
Wait a minute. Wouldn't it be better to keep him alive for a while?
Why would we want to do that?
I agree, he's probably telling the truth, but if he's not, if any more rangers come around here, it might come in handy to have a hostage.
Do you really think the rangers would bargain for his life?
I don't know, but they might.
Well, boss, do you want me to cut his throat or not?
For now, no. We'll hang on to him, as Waco suggested. He's proven to be pretty cunning so far.
That's a smart thing to do, Mr. Gray. I don't think you'll be sorry.
You had better hope that I'm not, because I can promise you, Waco, if I am sorry, you will be too.
When they were back inside the house, Beatrice was standing near the entrance.
What happened out there? Is that young man dead?
Of course not. I had a talk with him, and he admitted he came over here because he was suspicious of us. I'm sure he regrets that idea now.
Are you going to kill him?
Not unless it becomes absolutely necessary. As you can imagine, I'd prefer not to give the authorities any more reasons to pursue us than we have to.
What about his wounds? Shouldn't a doctor take a look at them?
That's not going to happen. Brattle's quite competent when it comes to patching up bullet wounds.
I can take a look at him if
not you... necessary. It's all taken care of, dear sister. Don't give it another thought.
Well, all right. If you say so, Alexander.
I say so. Now, there's a big empty valise upstairs in my room. Would you mind bringing it down? I think we can pack all this money in it.
That valise is pretty heavy, even empty. I'm not sure I can handle it.
I can get it.
No, that's all right. I'll fetch it down myself. I can trust the two of you together here with all that cash, can't I?
Of course you can. I'm your sister, and if Waco wanted to betray you, he's had plenty of chances before now, hadn't he?
Well, not really, but I'll take your point. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Waco, did they kill that ranger?
He's still alive. Your brother was telling the truth about that.
They're going to kill him, sooner or later. You know they are. We have to get out of here. We can't be mixed up in the murder of a Texas ranger.
I'm already wanted by the law, remember? After today, there are going to be murder charges hanging over my head. 3 men died during that robbery, including a couple deputy U.S. marshals.
Oh, my lord. I still say we should go. If we're ever going to have a chance to get away, we...
I can't. I'm sorry. It's just not the right time.
Before Beatrice could argue anymore, they heard the sound of Gray coming back down the stairs with the valise and moved apart. The kid was sitting in one of the armchairs, and Beatrice was standing idly by the table when Gray came into the room carrying the large valise. He set it on the table.
Give me a hand with this, would you, Beatrice?
Of course.
Together, they packed the money into the big canvas suitcase. It all fit, nearly 3,000 $20 bills. Gray smiled as he lifted the valise and felt the weight of it.
Oh, that's what I call doing a good job of packing.
Before the kid or Beatrice could respond, Brattle hurried into the room. The Segundo's air of urgency told the kid that something was wrong. He let himself hope Tyler had gotten away somehow.
There are a couple of riders coming, boss. You're going to want to see this, but you may not like it.
What the hell? Merle's not already here, is he? Why didn't send for him?
It ain't Merle.
Gray took the pistol from his pocket.
The Rangers?
Nope, not the Rangers.
Damn you, Brattle, spit it out.
Looks like Bert Hagen and Ike Calvert.
Hagen and Calvert? But how? They're supposed to be in Huntsville. I'm going to get to the bottom of this one. Come on.
He stalked out of the room.
Better stay here, Beatrice.
No, I want to see what's going on.
I reckon it'll be all right, Keene. Those two hombres work for the boss, after all. Although it don't make any sense, them being here right now.
They joined Gray in front of the house and watched the two riders approach. Although Bert Hagen was no longer wearing his prison guard's uniform and Ike Calvert was dressed in civilian clothes, the kid recognized both men. Calvert had a derby hat perched jauntily on his head. They reined their mounts to a halt.
Sorry to show up like this without any warning, Mr. Gray. There's big trouble brewing, and we figured you'd need to know about it as soon as possible.
Gray ignored him and looked at Calvert.
I never expected to see you again. I never wanted to see you again.
No need to take that tone, son. I've done everything you asked me to, haven't I? Anyway, a boy shouldn't talk that way to his own father.
It is him. I remember seeing pictures of him.
So did the kid. As he struggled to comprehend what was going on, he recalled the family portrait he'd seen in the old plantation house that Alexander Gray had burned to the ground. If he'd had a chance to take a closer look at that painting, he might have recognized Ike Calvert, or Isaac Gray, to give the man what was probably his real name. He remembered Beatrice telling him that after murdering his wife, the elder Gray had changed his name and become an outlaw. The kid knew where the man had ended up. How Alexander Gray had come to set up the operation with his estranged father was unknown to the kid, but he supposed that didn't really matter. Hagen dismounted without being asked. So did Calvert, which was the only way the kid could think of him.
What are you doing here? What do you want?
To help you, of course. It's time to cut and run, Alex. The law's on to what we've been doing.
What are you talking about?
I was working in the assistant warden's office, sweeping out the place, you know. And I always like to look around when nobody's there. Never know what you might find. Like part of a letter the assistant wrote to a lady friend of his. Seems he was trying to impress her by telling her all about how him and the warden were helping the Texas Rangers by getting a fake prisoner on the inside of an outlaw gang.
Calvert leveled a finger at the kid.
Him. He ain't Waco Keene at all. He's a damn ranger.
The accusation didn't take the kid by surprise. He had figured out where things were going several moments earlier, although he hadn't known exactly how Calvert had discovered his identity. Warden Jennings might be trustworthy, as Captain Hughes claimed, but obviously he had placed his trust in the wrong man.
That's crazy. I don't know what some blasted warden wrote, but I'm sure not a Texas Ranger.
Yes, he is. He figured out somehow what we've been doing. He tricked us into busting Keene, or whatever his real name is, out of prison and taking him into the gang, and the Rangers will probably be coming down on our heads any minute now.
Gray turned his cold, serpent-like gaze on the newest member of his gang. The kid knew nothing he could say was going to convince Gray that Calvert was wrong.
I smuggled Ike out of the prison, and we got here as quick as we could to warn you, boss.
It's all right. It all makes sense now. Why, that ranger has been sneaking around here. He's your partner, isn't he, Waco?
I don't know anything about this.
Like I told him, don't waste your time lying. You've just been waiting until after we pulled the job so you'd have more evidence against us. You were going to signal him so he could tell the Rangers to go ahead and raid the place. But he ruined everything by sneaking in and getting captured before you could give him the high sign. Ho, 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 ho.
Gray turned back to Hagen and his father.
So you see, there's nothing to worry about. All we have to do is get rid of these two lawmen. We can carry on as before. It's a shame we won't be able to have Merle turn in the body for a nice fat reward like we did with Lupo and the others, but I suppose we can accept that loss.
A couple of Rangers turn up missing, boss, and the rest of those badge-toting buzzards will start wondering what happened to them. And that fella Tyler might have told his bosses we were holed up here. I think it'd be better if we moved out, and mighty quick-like, too, maybe tonight.
That's good thinking, Brettle. You may well be right. We can take the chance. Take Waco. We'll still call him Waco for the sake of simplicity. Take Waco out to the barn and put him with the other one.
Sure, boss. I'd be glad to.
The kid knew he had run out of time. Putting up a fight might be futile, but he wasn't going to give up and let them kill him. But before he could launch his attack, Hagen caught the kid with the butt of his pistol.
Take him out to the barn, but don't kill him yet. I want that pleasure myself.
An unknown time later, the kid swam up out of that black pool that had sucked him under.
Kid. Kid, can you hear me?
The kid pried his eyes open and looked over at Tyler. The wounded ranger was still tied to the post in the barn. It took only a moment for the kid to realize he was in the same situation. His arms had been jerked awkwardly behind him, and his wrists were lashed together around a post. He was sitting on the hard-packed ground with his legs stuck out in front of him. Squinting, the kid looked around. A lantern hung on a nail driven into another post cast a yellow circle of light over the two prisoners. On the other side of that circle, the outlaw called Hendry sat on a stool, a six-gun held loosely in his hand.
So both our pigeons are awake now. I have to let the boss know. He wanted to kill the ranger first, but wanted you awake to see it, Mr. Waco Damned Keen.
That's not my name. They call me Kid Morgan.
Kid Morgan? I've heard the name. Damned if I haven't. You're supposed to be some sort of gunfighter. Are you telling me you're really a Texas Ranger?
Of course I'm not a Ranger, you blasted idiot. I don't know anything about some crazy plan the Rangers hatched. I was arrested and thrown into prison because I was mistaken for Waco Keen.
Huh?
When Calvert said somebody was going to bust me out, of course I went along with it. Would have been a damned fool to do anything else. I've been pretending to be Waco Keen ever since because that's who your boss thought I was. Got a good operation here. I wanted to be a part of it for real.
I never heard nothing about Kid Morgan being an outlaw.
I wasn't, until I got sent to prison for something I didn't do. Now I just want to get back at all the damned lawmen for doing that to me.
The kid turned to the open double doors and saw Alexander Gray standing there.
My, that was quite an inventive story. Totally ludicrous, of course, but with a tiny shred of possibility, someone might take it seriously. Not me, however. I can see right through what you're trying to do, Mr. Morgan. That is what you said your name is, isn't it?
You got it all wrong, Gray. I'm not a Texas Ranger.
Well, if you're not, then you're working with them, which is just as bad.
Gray strolled across the barn toward the prisoners.
Let's not delay here. Everything is packed up, including the loot from that robbery today, and we're ready to leave. The only thing left to do is take care of you two. I'm really not happy about having to abandon this place. It would have made an excellent headquarters for us for a while.
That's too damn bad, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Go on and join the others, Hendry. I'll be there shortly.
Sure, boss.
Hendry stood up and went out of the barn as directed. Gray stood in front of the prisoners.
I thought about shooting you. I thought about letting Brattle cut your throats, too. Oh, he would have enjoyed that. But I decided both of those methods would be too quick and relatively painless. I think you'd suffer a lot more if you burned to death.
What are you going to do? Burn down the barn like you did the plantation house?
That house didn't deserve to stand any longer. It was a monument to one man's evil, and it's only fitting that it was wiped off the face of the earth.
You can burn something down, but that doesn't change the past. Everything a man does is still there, whether any sign of it is left or not. Your father still murdered your mother.
I see Beatrice has been spilling the family secrets. Well, no matter. Yes, my father murdered my mother. I won't deny it.
But you let him live.
He serves a purpose. You two don't. I'm going to set fire to the hay in the back of the barn. The flame should spread quickly, but it'll still take them several minutes to reach these stalls. You'll have that time to think about how foolish you were to try to stop me, and to ponder how it's going to feel to burn alive. I've heard that's the most painful way to die, but then, how would anyone know for sure, huh?
You son of a... You're loco, you know that?
On the contrary, I'm sane enough to know this world is a cesspool, and the only thing it's good for is whatever we can rip away from it.
Without saying anything else, Gray walked to the back of the barn. Gray returned with a smile on his face.
Goodbye, gentlemen. I hope it hurts like hell.
He turned and stalked toward the double doors. As he did, the kid caught a whiff of the first tendril of smoke. Gray hadn't quite reached the door when another figure appeared in the opening. Beatrice darted past him, avoiding the startled grab he made for her. With her long skirt swirling around her legs, she ran over to the kid.
Waco!
She dropped to her knees beside him. She reached behind him to tug at his bonds.
Alexander, you can't do this!
Gray took hold of her arm and hauled her roughly to her feet.
So, you've fallen for this ranger, huh? You prefer him over your own flesh and blood?
No, Alexander. I just don't want you to kill him, that's all. You better than that.
There's where you've made quite a mistake, my dear. I'm not better than that. Not at all. I'm no better than I have to be.
He started dragging her toward the doors.
Come on. We don't have much time.
No, Alexander, no, no!
Quiet, woman!
Brattle came running in.
Yeah, boss, the gal got away.
I told you to watch her!
Gray pushed the stunned Beatrice into his Segundo's arms.
Put her in the buggy and get her out of here, now!
Brattle glanced at the fire and jerked his head in a nod. He tightened his grip on Beatrice.
I got her this time, boss.
She wasn't struggling anymore as Brattle took her out of the barn. Gray glanced back at the kid and Tyler one last time and hurried after the others.
Oh, damn it, kid. I'm sorry I got you into this mess.
You didn't.
The kid moved his hands as much as he could, feeling around on the dirt behind him.
My own choice to get mixed up in the plan. Wouldn't mind knowing what you were doing here, though, instead of sitting up on that hill like you were supposed to.
I thought it would be a good chance to snoop around while all of you were gone. I figured we could use all the evidence against Gray we could round up. But you got back a mite sooner than I expected, and I didn't have a chance to get away before those two hombres with the horses spotted me.
There's one more thing I have to know. Tyler's not your last name, is it?
Well, no, that's my front handle. My full name is...
Tyler Beaumont.
Well, how in blazes did you know that?
My father is Frank Morgan.
Morgan? Why? I never put it together. But that means, well, my wife Victoria...
Yeah, that's right. She may be my half-sister. Frank wouldn't talk about it much, but that's the feeling I got anyway.
His hands were busy behind his back as he talked.
Well, then you and I could be brothers-in-law. And we wind up stuck in the same mess like this. That's just loco.
Isn't it, though?
Sometimes the world is a lot smaller than we expect it to be.
With a jerk, the rope around his wrists came apart. As Tyler watched, shocked, the kid brought his arms around in front of him. Blood dripped from a couple of cuts on his wrists. In his right hand, he clutched the small folding knife Beatrice had tried to place in his hand as she was pretending to tug at his bonds. She'd been awkward about it, and the knife had slipped from her fingers to fall behind him. He flexed his fingers rapidly to get the blood flowing again as he hurried over to kneel behind the post where Tyler was tied. Flames had spread all the way across the barn's rear wall and were working their way up the side walls. The kid started sawing at Tyler's bonds.
I'll try not to cut you too much.
The hell with that. Just get me loose and we can get out of here.
Less than a minute later, the ropes fell away from the ranger's wrists. The kid grabbed Tyler's arm and helped him to his feet. With smoke coiling thickly around them and flames casting a nightmarish glow over everything, they stumbled toward the doors. The kid and Tyler stumbled to a halt at the sight of the outlaws who had left a short time earlier, galloping hell-bent for leather back to the ranch. The outlaws weren't shooting at him and Tyler, the kid realized a second later. The men were twisted in their saddles to throw lead at someone behind them. They were being chased, not doing the chasing. The kid could only think of one reason for the gang to act like that.
The Rangers must be right on their tails!
Yeah, but with that fire behind us, we're good targets too.
Sure enough, some of the outlaws had spotted them. Muzzle flashes split the night as bullets whined in the direction of the kid and Tyler.
Split up! Try to get hold of a gun!
Now you're talking!
Tyler broke into a run. They veered apart, and luckily the outlaws had more pressing worries than two escaped prisoners. They left their saddles and took cover wherever they could as another volley of gunfire roared out from the riders pushing them closely. The kid had a pretty good idea what had happened. Gray, Brattle, and the others had run right into a force of Rangers shortly after leaving, and they'd been forced to flee back to the ranch, the closest spot where they could put up a fight. A man on horseback loomed up close beside the kid. In the garish light spreading out from the burning barn, he recognized the outlaw called Dodge. Recognizing the kid, Dodge tried to swing his gun around. Right before he pulled the trigger, the kid grabbed Dodge's arm and shoved it aside. Using his momentum, the kid hauled him out of the saddle. The kid pounced, snatching the gun out of Dodge's hand and whipping it against the outlaw's head. For all the kid knew, the gun was empty, but he reacted instinctively as a slug flew past his ear from behind. Whirling and dropping to one knee, he lined the sights and pulled the trigger. The slug punched into the outlaw's guts. He doubled over, dropped his gun, and collapsed. The kid ran over to him and scooped that weapon from the ground, filling both hands with iron. He spotted Alexander Gray running toward the ranch house, dragging a struggling Beatrice with one hand while he carried the valise full of money with the other. Brattle, Bert Hagen, and Ike Calvert followed closely behind Gray, engaged in a running battle with the Rangers as they covered Gray's retreat. Once they were behind the thick stone walls of that house, they would be able to hold off the Rangers for a while. Eventually, those dedicated lawmen would root out their quarry, but would likely pay a high price in blood. The kid ran toward the side of the house, then slid along it until he found an open window. He stuck the guns in his waistband and pulled himself up and into the darkened, castle-like building. Drawing the revolvers again, he waited tensely, listening. Eventually, the Rangers would be able to circle, come in from behind the place, and the outlaw defenders wouldn't be able to hold it. The kid planned to speed that up. He cat-footed through the rooms. When he reached the door of the big front room, he paused. No lights burned in the room, but the red glare from the burning barn lit up the place, casting black, eerie, dancing shadows around the room. Brattle, Hagen, Gray, and Calvert had torn the curtains from the windows and broken the glass so they could shoot out easier. Beatrice was quietly crying on the floor. Working by feel in the dark hallway, the kid counted the rounds he had left in the two revolvers. One still held three bullets, but the other one had only one cartridge left in its cylinder. He quickly transferred a bullet from one gun into the other, so he had two rounds in each. Four shots for four men. No room for error. In the rage that gripped him, the kid was beyond caring. His hands tightened around the gun butts, and he stepped out and raised the Colts.
We're all gonna die here.
Shut up, you old coot! You deserve to die a long time ago.
He's not the only one.
The outlaws whirled to meet the new, unexpected threat. As Brattle came around, the kid squeezed off a shot from his left-hand gun and saw the slug smash into the Segundo's forehead and on into his brain. The kid fired the right-hand gun at the same time, sending a bullet driving into Hagen's chest. The renegade prison guard crumpled. That left Gray and Calvert, father and son. The kid heard a bullet from Calvert's gun sing past his ear as he triggered both Colts again. Calvert cried out and rose up on his toes, staggering back against the wall next to the window. Alexander Gray was still on his feet, and the kid's left arm stung where a slug from Gray's gun lanced it. The kid was wounded and out of bullets, and he had failed to kill Gray. The kid dropped the empty guns and threw himself forward as Gray fired again. He crashed into Gray, and they went down. The gun flew from Gray's hand, skittering across the floor. The kid ignored the pain in his arm and slammed a punch into Gray's face. Gray might have fancied himself a criminal mastermind, but physically, he was no match for Kid Morgan. The kid locked his hands around Gray's throat and squeezed, fully intending at that moment to choke the life out of Alexander Gray.
Waco! Waco!
He glanced up and saw that Beatrice had picked up her brother's gun and was pointing it at him.
Don't kill him! I can't let you kill him!
Beatrice!
He deserves to hang!
The kid realized she wasn't threatening him. She was covering Gray. He pried his fingers from around the man's neck and sat back.
Kid! Kid, you in here?
Over here!
Tyler rushed over to him, and to the kid's surprise, so did Asa Colhane.
Kid, you all right? Hell, you're bleeding.
The arm? It's fine.
The kid put a hand on the table to brace himself as he climbed to his feet. Colhane reached out to help him.
There's the hombre behind all of it, Sergeant.
Tyler pointed at Alexander Gray.
Did you kill him, kid?
The kid looked at Beatrice, who had set the pistol on the table when the Rangers came in.
No, I didn't kill him. He'll live. To hang.
The kid sat in the lobby of the best hotel in Fort Worth and watched Asa Colhane cross the vast room toward him. The Ranger was carrying his black Stetson, and his western cut suit and string tie made him look more like a wealthy cattle baron than a lawman. Colhane took a seat in a well-padded armchair beside the kid and balanced the hat on his knee.
Well, how you feeling, kid?
You mean this?
The kid looked down at his left arm, which was supported by a black silk sling.
Doctor says I ought to wear this thing for a few more days, but I don't really need it. I could throw it away and saddle and ride right now.
Oh, I don't doubt it. Well, I put that gal on the train like you asked me to. I think she was a mite peeved at you for not seeing her off yourself.
I didn't think it would be a good idea.
She don't hold no grudges against you. Shoot, without you speaking up for her, she might have been in trouble with the law, too. Captain Hughes thought she ought to be charged as an accomplice to everything the gang did after she showed up at that plantation. According to the letter of the law, he's probably right.
But being good and proper Texans, The letter of the law is less important than justice being done. Am I right?
You sure are. Anyway, she's on her way back to Louisiana. I don't know what she's going to do when she gets there.
Neither did the kid, but at least Beatrice would have the money to do whatever she wanted to. He had already wired instructions to Claudia's turnbuckle to see to that. She could start a new life without having to look back, if she could bring herself to do it. Sometimes it was awfully hard to forget about the past, even when you wanted to.
What about Tyler?
Ranger Beaumont? Oh, he got a chewing out for leaving his post like that. And a commendation for helping us round up those owl hoots. He's going to have to be on his best behavior for a while, though. He come mighty close to getting the both of you killed. If I hadn't come along to check on him and seen what sort of trouble you boys was in, you'd have been out of luck. Same as if there hadn't been enough rangers on hand at the Veal Station post to go after that bunch. You heard that old saying about the skin of your teeth, kid? I'd say you're living proof of it.
Yeah, I'm mighty lucky, all right.
You gonna come down to Huntsville to watch the hanging when it's time for Alexander Gray to swing?
He hasn't even gone on trial yet.
No, but the trial starts next week, and it won't take long. With you and Ranger Beaumont to testify against him, he'll hang all right, no doubt about that.
I don't have any interest in watching it. I'll stay for the trial, then I'll be moving on. If I never see or hear anything about Alexander Gray again, that'll be just fine with me.
Does that mean you ain't gonna be taking the Rangers up on that offer?
Pack a badge full time? I don't think I'm cut out for that, Asa. I'm too much of a drifter.
Well, I can't say as I'm surprised.
Culhane put his hat on and heaved himself to his feet.
Well, but since you're gonna have to hang around Fort Worth for a while until the trial's over, you're gonna need something to help you pass the time.
You don't have some other little chore for me to do, do you? Something that involves me getting shot at or blown up?
No, not hardly. I just thought you might like some company, that's all. I know somebody who's grateful to you for helping clear her old pa's name.
Culhane nodded toward the other side of the lobby. The kid looked over there and saw the tall, blonde, lovely figure of Catherine Lupo standing just inside the door. The ranger said something behind him, but the kid didn't hear what it was. He was already crossing the room to meet Catherine as she started toward him.
The Loner, Book 14, Hard Luck Money, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2012, J.A. Johnstone. Published by arrangement with Kensington Publishing Corporation, all rights reserved. Production copyright 2013, The Cutting Corporation, all rights reserved. Unauthorized download and or duplication is prohibited. Performed by Ken Jackson, Eric Messner, Danny Gavigan, David Coyne, Kimberly Gilbert, Richard Cutting, Michael Glenn, Christopher Graybill, James Konacek, Nick DePinto, Thomas Penny, Nora Ashrati, Thomas Keegan, Gregory Gordon, Evan Casey, Dylan Lynch, Tracy Lynn Oliveira, and Tim Pabone. Additional red shirts by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Nathaniel Perry. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing, graphic audio sound design, and book adaptation by Nathaniel Perry. The Loner theme was composed by Nathaniel Perry, with additional original music by Johann Detweiler and Nathaniel Perry. If you enjoyed The Loner, be sure to look for William W. Johnstone's Blood Valley, a Cotton Pickens Western, available at road stops everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net, where you'll find samples of all our Action Pump titles, as well as free downloadable extras, audio guides, and podcasts. Keep listening for a preview of another thrilling title in Graphic Audio.
Rusty, you and me, We're going to shut down the saloon starting at midnight the first.
It ain't gonna be we, Sheriff. It's gonna be you alone. I'm resigning at 11:59 the evening of December 31st, and that's not negotiable unless the dry law's repealed. I aim to live, and I'm just bullet fodder if I keep the badge.
Now, you listen close and get that jail ready, because the Women's Temperance Union is gonna fill it to overflowing!
Uh-huh. My ma used to tell me that women get notions.
If lily-livered men won't do it, women will. We're organized and ready. When midnight New Year's Eve rolls around, we'll attack.
You can't do it with brooms, ma'am. You'll get shot.
Not even the most corrupt and craven and debased male in Doubtful will shoot women.
I wouldn't be too sure of it. My deputy, Rusty, he told me he'd as soon shoot a woman as a man.
Well then, I admire Rusty. He sees us as equals. Now, the good souls in the Women's Temperance Union have divided into three woman militias. Three militia women for each saloon. Here's how it'll play out. At midnight, we'll enter, two of us with shotguns, one woman with a revolver to cover the rear and pick off snipers. We'll give the saloon man 2 or 3 minutes to shut down or not. If not, our birdshot'll clean out the glass on the back bar and not a soul will fight back. They're all as lily-livered as the town's businessmen.
If I had a good posse, I'd get her done fast. I don't. You have to be patient. Beginning at midnight, January 1, I'll be the only man with a badge in the whole blamed county.
Goose Cannon here, out of Cheyenne. You the sheriff?
I am. Cotton Pickens.
Good. We're here to help out. I didn't know if we'd make it in time, but we did. We got hired by the Women's Temperance Union to help you shut down all them saloons at 1 minute after midnight.
Hired?
Yeah, they wired us for help. We're willing to work for anyone, long as we're well paid. We got us some of the best artillerists this side of Possum Creek. The lady said you'd deputize us, just to keep it all on the up and up. We'll just bust in right after midnight and shoot out the lights.
Cannon, that's not what we got cooking here. But thanks for the help.
It don't matter whether you pin badges on us. At 1 minute after midnight, we're gonna shut down Doubtful like it's never been shut down before.
Rusty, this here is Scuffy Scruggs and Ezra Panhandle. They're powder men from the mines. They've got a mess of powder tied outside.
What do you mean, powder?
6 crates of DuPont Hercules dynamite and all the fixings.
Jesus, I'm out of here.
Couldn't be safer. It's just nitro and clay formed into sticks. That's what dynamite is. You'd have trouble blowing up a housefly with it.
They won't tell me why they're here.
They won't say?
Oh, it's not your business long as we don't violate the law.
I think it's our business. Why are you on Saloon Row with that stuff?
We're just a couple of wayfarers lost in the cold.
You're a smartass. What were you there for?
To take a leak. There's an outhouse behind every saloon.
Where were you headed? What's the powder for?
You sure are a nosy one, Sheriff.
All right. I'm escorting you out of town. We're gonna move that powder far from here. Then you're free to return. Turk's Livery can care for the mules if you want.
We're free men. We'll go where we want.
Don't resist, Sheriff. There's a ticket to hell waiting for you if you do.
Head to the alley. Watch the fireworks. See the biggest show in town.
You're resisting arrest.
You stay out of it, and you might live. We're just helping you enforce the law, Sheriff. Call us a posse. Call us friends. Call us the strong arm of the law.
I'll call you men in big trouble.
Now, get out of the saloons. They're all ready to blow.
Is it midnight yet?
Exactly midnight. Happy New Year. The fuse gets lit at the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
Blood Valley 5. Wyoming Slaughter.
Available now in graphic audio.
If you can't find that graphic audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD format or digital download. If you're on the road, call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220, or go to www.graphicaudio.net. And if you're looking for a great way to try out a different Graphic Audio series, or want the complete series now, check out our long-haul MP3 series sets, conveniently shipped to you on a USB flash drive. Available only at www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our monthly newsletter, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter.